Tonight, I want to begin in verse 10, and we're going to read the entirety of this text that we've been studying, because tonight we're going to conclude with verse 18 as we talk about prayer as another weapon in spiritual warfare. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now here we are for tonight, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. A few years ago, there was a movie that came out that was produced by a ministry out of Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia. Anybody know where Albany, Georgia is? And I think there's a Marine base there, isn't there? And a logistics Marine base. Well, Michael Catt was the long-term pastor at Sherwood Baptist Church. He retired this past year. And while he was there, they began a film ministry that produced a number of Christian films that many of you may have seen. But one of those that was produced was a movie called War Room. And it was really about the power of prayer in spiritual warfare. Now I want you to listen to a clip from this movie as we start our study together tonight. Watch and listen closely.
Now this is where I do my fighting.
A closet.
I call it my war room.
So you wrote prayers for each area of your life?
A prayer strategy, yes. Now, I used to do what you and your husband are doing, but it got me nowhere. And then I really started studying what the scriptures say. And God showed me that it wasn't my job to do the heavy lifting, no. That was something that only He could do. It was my job to seek Him, to trust Him, and to stand on His word.
Miss Clara, I've never seen anything like this. And I admire it, I really do. I don't have time to pray that much every day.
But you apparently have time to fight losing battles with your husband. Elizabeth, if you will give me 1 hour a week, I can teach you how to fight the right way with the right weapons.
Since you're good with the asking price, I'll go ahead and list the house. I'd like to think about our other discussion.
Elizabeth, please forgive me for being so direct, but I see in you a warrior that needs to be awakened. But I will respect whatever decision you make.
Thank you, Miss Clara. I hope you have a good day.
You too. Don't let me push too hard, Lord. I know I got a big mouth.
Anybody out there identify with Miss Clara and has a big mouth? Don't raise your hand. As we've been studying Ephesians chapter 6 and being battle ready, we've talked a lot about putting on the full armor of God. When we got to the sword of the Spirit, we learned that the sword of the Spirit is the weapon that God has intended for us to use in our warfare, both as an offensive weapon and also as a defensive weapon. But the Word of God is not the only weapon that God has given us as believers to fight our spiritual battles. As a matter of fact, when we look in this verse, he says, in addition to all, verse 16, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then there's the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But look at verse 18 again. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. The Bible teaches us that we have been given two primary weapons in spiritual warfare, the Word of God and prayer. One of the things that I encourage our families to do is to pray together. I encourage and I ask men, do you pray with your wife? You know, Vicki and I pray together, and someone says, do you pray together every day? The answer would be most every day. If I were to say 7 days a week, every day of the year, that wouldn't be true because there are times that I'm not home or she's not home, or maybe she went to bed a little early or I went to bed a little late, but we pray together almost every single day. And I can tell you that one of the great joys of my life is to hear my wife pray for me. If you've never heard your spouse pray for you and pray over you, it's amazing. As we think about the battles that we're in, I want to encourage you that this great command for standing for the combat that we have been engaged in requires us to understand that prayer, constant, earnest, spiritual prayer, must be added to the equipment of the panoply of a soldier's armor. As a matter of fact, the armor is infused with God's strength and power through prayer. Paul is not saying that prayer is added to the armor. He is stating that prayer must be woven into the armor. Here's a statement. Spiritual warfare cannot be waged without prayer. Someone once said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. The church moves forward in prayer. Your staff, every Tuesday when we have a staff meeting, we stagger different staff meetings. On Tuesdays, I meet at 8:30 with the worship team, and we plan worship, we pray about worship, we pray over the songs that we're going to sing, we then talk about all the technical aspects and everything that goes on. You may not be aware, it takes 15 at least individuals to run the technology, the lights, the sound, the cameras, the LED walls. It takes 15 people to make every service happen on Sunday. And there's a lot of planning that goes into it, but what I can tell you is that our worship pastor, Rick Stone, always makes sure that we pray over our services. Our staff meets every Tuesday, some section of our staff at different weeks. We have different groups of staff that meet, but every Tuesday when we meet, we always begin asking the staff, what are the needs that we need to pray for? What are the needs of our people? What is God doing in our church? and we stop, and before we discuss the business, the practical aspects of calendars and scheduling and programming and all of those things that are all important, they're all a part of what we do. They take a lot of time and energy, but I want you to know that your staff prays for you and over everything that we do. Every Sunday morning, we meet here, all of your program staff at 7:15, and we sit right there in that middle section, and over here a little bit, they kind of spread out, and they come in early, and I'm so proud of them that they get in here, and we come in here, and what we do is we talk about the weekend. We say, okay, has anybody heard about a need? Is there something that we're not aware of? Has somebody had a death? And tell us what's going on. Is there something we need to pray about? And we stop, and before we ever begin our day carrying on the things of the church, we pray for you. We pray for the services that morning. We pray for the Lord to have victory over the enemy in our lives. We pray for God to move in power in our midst. We know that if the church is going to move forward, it is only going to move forward on its knees. Now, I don't say that so that you'll think, oh, there's something, because we're nothing. I say that because I want you to know what I'm going to be sharing with you about prayer being a critical component of your personal life in waging the spiritual warfare in your life. I want you to know that your pastors and your staff not only believe this, but we try to practice it personally and corporately as a group, because we know that if we don't pray, we can't accomplish anything. Luke 18, Jesus was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. One of the things that we do in our family and that we have found, and that it's almost something that we say without even really thinking about it, well, let's just pray about that. Did you lose the keys to the car? Well, let's pray about it. Let's ask God to show us where they are. Should we go here on vacation? Well, let's pray about it and ask God if this is the right thing to do. I have shared this story before, but it speaks volumes about my wife, I guess. But one day I went home and I was kind of sad and just didn't feel really good about the sermons that day. And she noticed I was kind of down, and she said, well, what's wrong? Why you seem down? What's wrong? I said, I don't feel like I preached very well today. It didn't just seem to connect with the folks very well. And you know what I was looking for, right? What did I want? Wanted some encouragement. Honey, that was the best sermon you've ever preached, you know? Well, for those of you that know my wife, that was not what was about to be said. I said, honey, I just didn't feel good about it today. I just didn't think I did a good job. This is my wife. She said, well, Daryl, all I know to do is ask, did you study hard enough and did you pray like you should? Wow. You know what? She was right. I heard a man say when I was studying preaching in seminary, no man preaches any better than he prays. Had a friend that I worked with at Coburn Vending at General Dynamics plant at Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas when I was in seminary. And when we got ready to graduate, a friend of mine, we talked about that statement, and when we got ready to leave, he was moving to South Carolina. I was coming to Pastor Capshaw Baptist Church in Huntsville, Alabama, out in Limestone County, and he handed me a paperweight, and he had engraved on the top of it, no man preaches any better than he prays. And that sits on my desk where I study. Prayer. Jesus said, at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. I say all of that to say that in so many ways, I know that my prayer life is not what I'd like for it to be. I know that I could pray more. I know that I could do a better job of journaling what needs to be prayed. And I know that I could do a lot better job being more intentional and focused in prayer. I don't share all those things to say, hey, look at what we do. I share that to say that we believe convictionally at what Paul was saying to us about prayer, and we continue to grow in the grace of being the prayer warrior that God wants us to be. I want to share with you some things out of this text that I think that you'll find helpful. First of all, the operating power for prayer. Notice that he says in this passage in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times, how? In the Spirit. Now that phrase, in the Spirit, is a locative phrase that indicates that you are praying in the realm of a Spirit-filled life. Paul writes in Romans and he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we are to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Often when I have read that passage, I've thought about our pastor emeritus, Brother Jimmy. You know, I've known Brother Jimmy since I was in my 20s when I was a young pastor in the area here. And I remember Brother Jimmy sharing one time, and I'm sure that he shared here at this church. I wouldn't have been around at that time, but I remember him sharing that there was a time when he was so broken and so crushed in his spirit that he went into his closet to pray and he couldn't even utter words. Because I remember Brother Jimmy being a man of prayer. As a matter of fact, I remember him telling about taking the church's directory, and when he ran his long runs, he used to pray for the church members doing that. That impacted me. And when I read Romans, it reminds me of him telling that story. When I can't even know what to pray, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When we talk about spiritual warfare in our life, when we find ourselves daily needing to pray, there are those times that we don't even know what to say. And the Bible says that when you have the Spirit of God, of course, Romans 8 reminds us, if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't belong to Christ. That the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And when the Spirit lives in us, there are those times that we get before God. And it may be that we don't know what to say, and the Spirit just speaks for us. Or maybe the wounds are so deep and the heart is so heavy and the tears are so many that we cannot even audibly utter the words that we need to say. And the Spirit comes. And he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You and I can say words, but prayer that makes a difference is prayer that is operated in the realm of the Holy Spirit. This means to pray in concert with the Spirit. How do we do that? By walking in the Spirit, by listening to the Spirit, and by following the Spirit. I have people that will say, you know, I prayed about it and God told me it was okay. And I always know that they must not have been listening to the same Spirit that I listen to, because what they say God told them is okay is not in concert with the Word. God's Spirit is never going to lead us to do or say anything that is not in concert with His Word, right? So when we pray and we are in concert praying in the Spirit, one scholar says it like this: to pray in the Spirit is to pray in the name of Christ, to pray consistent with His nature and His will. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in concert with the one who helps our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we should. So when we talk about spiritual warfare and we're putting on all the armor of God and we've taken the sword of the Spirit and we've put it into the belt of truth that wraps everything up, then when we begin to pray, when prayer permeates every aspect of who we are and what we do, it needs to be the prayer that comes from a life that is lived in concert with seeking the Spirit of God. Paul said, Ephesians 5:18, you've heard this over and over again, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be ye filled. It's a continuous action verb. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And your prayer life, when you're a Spirit-filled believer, when you're walking in oneness with God, when you're walking in intimacy with Christ, and you begin to pray, the oneness of your intimacy with Him through the power of the Spirit becomes the operating power in which you pray. People say, you know, Daryl, I don't like to pray out loud. That's okay. A lot of people don't. But what I will tell you is one of the reasons you need to hear others pray out loud is because it will help you to learn to pray out loud and to have confidence to pray out loud. The other thing that it will do is it will help you to learn to pray. And there are just some people that when they pray, you can tell they've been with the Lord. You know anybody like that? The operating power for prayer. He says, verse 18, in the Spirit. Now, what is the occasion for prayer? The Jewish people of Paul's day had several prescribed times for daily prayer. But the coming of the new covenant and the birth of the church brought a new dimension to prayer as it did to everything else. Listen to some scriptures. Luke 21:36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So what does this mean? Does this mean that we walk around and our heads are bowed all the time and our eyes are closed? That'd be dangerous. We'd run into the wall. What does this really mean? To pray at all times is to live in a continual God consciousness where everything we see and everything we experience becomes a kind of prayer because we are living in a deep awareness and surrender to our Heavenly Father. One writer says to pray at all times is to constantly set our minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Now, when the Bible says in this passage in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. The operating power is the Spirit, but the occasion for prayer is all times. There's never a wrong time or a bad time to pray. I think one of the most amazing things that I have found is that rarely, if ever, do I remember asking anyone, can I pray for you, and them saying no. Now, I have had people, for example, at a restaurant, if I say to the waitress or the waiter, hey, we're about to pray over our meal. Is there something you'd like for us to pray for you about? I don't usually mean by that, if you'll stop, we'll pray for you while you stand here and pray over you, because I know they've got to work. I don't want to get them in trouble with their boss, you know, or anything like that. And so most of the time, they'll say, oh, yes, here, pray for this. And they leave, and we pray for them. Occasionally, I'll have someone that will stop, and they'll bow their head. And I realize they thought I meant right now, let me pray over you. And they're grateful for that. But I have found that whenever you ask someone, may I pray for you, even if they're not that religious, even if they may not be a Christian, most of the time, most people are grateful when you pray. And I'll tell you what else I found. When you're talking to someone and they're sharing with you a burden or a difficulty that they're walking through, it's warfare. And you and I can say, I'll pray for you. And sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, not because we don't mean to, but because we're human. And if we don't write it down, sometimes we forget. But I'll tell you what happens when we say, you know what? Can I just pray with you right now about that? How many of you have ever had somebody do that for you and you walked away feeling like you were a little bit lighter and encouraged? Sure you have. Today I was coming upon Drake and I had an appointment at noon and I was hurrying up to get back to get to the appointment and I was running late and I saw a fire truck. There had been a wreck and so I had to kind of meander around it. And normally when I see something like that, I stop and pray for the individuals, but I didn't this day. And the reason I didn't was because I was so concerned about being late for my appointment. I called the individual, said, I'll be there a little bit late. I'm stuck in traffic because of this accident. And I realized later that was an occasion to pray. You would say, well, Daryl, was it a minor accident or a major accident? I don't know. Didn't seem to be too major, but it might have been major to that person who had a fender bender that maybe they didn't have the money to pay the deductible. Maybe they lived with a spouse that was cruel, and if anything like that happened, rather than going home and the spouse saying, honey, don't worry about it. As long as you're okay, that's all that matters. Maybe they knew they were going home to someone that would berate them and belittle them because of what happened. There's a lot of reasons to pray for people. When you drive by the hospital and you think about the nurses and doctors that are caring for people there that are very sick and dying, maybe just uttering a prayer for them. When I drive down Bailey Cove and I drive past gospel preaching churches, Mark McClellan, the pastor at Willowbrook, and I, he'll often phone me, and if we don't get each other, he'll leave me a message. Hey, I was driving by Whitesburg. I want you to know I was praying for your church today. And when I drive by Bailey Cove and I drive by Willowbrook every Sunday morning, I try to remember to pray for Mark and his church there as they pray and share the gospel. You're passing a funeral procession, and those are hard times. You don't know anybody involved, but you know there's somebody with a broken heart. Pray at all times. You drive by our academy and you think about the kids that are in school there and the warfare that they're under. And, you know, our Auburn Tigers, Alabama, what do we call that? The mascot, thank you. We're the Whitesburg Warriors, right? And our warriors are in a battle, these kids are. And you drive by that school, maybe you ought to think to just on all occasions, say, Lord God, I know that the enemy wants to destroy these children. God, I'm praying a hedge of protection around that academy. You drive by Grissom High School and you think about the teachers and the faculty and the students that are there and you stop and you think to yourself, Lord God, I pray for this place of education that is filled with so much need and so many hurting children. I heard a story today about a little boy, 10 years old, that is so hurting. His own mom and dad, he doesn't live with them, but they never even tell him they love him. Could you imagine being that little boy? Praying at all occasions. Have you ever seen a couple arguing in a restaurant or in a store? Have you? Sure you have. What do we usually think? That's embarrassing. I'm going on the other side of the store. Maybe what we ought to do is pray for their marriage. Because the enemy would like to destroy whoever he can. The ultimate purpose of our salvation is to glorify God and to bring us into intimate, rich fellowship with him. To fail to come to God in prayer is to deny that very purpose. When Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus and he was telling them to put on the full armor of God, and he concludes in verse 18, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Spiritual warfare is ongoing around you at all times, in all places, whether you and I are ever aware of it. You do realize that. So when you and I pray at all times, when we look for opportunities to pray, when we find opportunities to pray, when we look for people to pray for or to pray with, they may not even ever know that we're praying for them, but I am telling you, God works through the prayers of his people. And I want to tell you something. He not only uses your prayers in the lives of those people, but your praying, God is at work in you to prepare you for the battles you'll face. The operating power for prayer is in the Spirit. The occasion for prayer is at all times. Now, there are options for prayer that are listed in this passage. The options for prayer, all kinds of prayers and requests. One word that is used here is prosuke. It means request. Then there's the word desis, which means petition, and it means specific. That is, there are times that people ask us to pray for things, but then there are also specific things for which we should pray. I would encourage you that as we pray, that we ought to lift up all kinds of prayer, with all prayer and petition, every form and every fashion and every way that we need and can and should pray, we ought to pray. I think one of the things that perhaps we should do more often is be very specific in prayer. Very specific in prayer. The options for prayer. Aren't you glad? You know, I've heard people say recently that the grocery stores don't seem to have all the options they once had. Or maybe you, how many of you do the grocery shopping in your house? I don't. Vicki doesn't let me because I come back with candy and ice cream. I came home the other night and she had had this six pack of Hershey bars that we bought to have s'mores with the grandkids when they're here. Four of them were missing. It's the most amazing thing. And the empty package was laying on the counter and Vicki said, "Daryl, it's the most amazing thing, honey." She said, "I went in the pantry and I noticed that this brand new package of Hershey bars, that four of them have disappeared. I cannot imagine who would have come in our house and eaten these." We had fun with it. But I hear people say, well, you go to the grocery store and it seems like they don't have all that they used to have. We're still blessed, aren't we? But I want you to remember something. When you pray, there is an endless ability and opportunity to bring before God any and all requests with as much specificity as you would like. Why else would Paul use two different words in this passage? Why would he use the word prosuke and why would he use the word desis? It's because he's talking about all different options for prayer, all kinds of prayer and requests. Well, we've got to move on. There's the operating power for prayer in the Spirit, the occasion for prayer at all times. The options for prayer is the first part of verse 18, with all prayer and petition. But then here's something very interesting. Paul gives us the object of prayer. Now, notice what he says in verse 18. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Elsewhere, Paul commands us to pray for unbelievers. We're commanded to pray for government leaders, for others, but here the focus is on all the saints. It is only saints, Christian believers, who are involved in the spiritual warfare for which God provides the armor Paul has just been describing and who are able to pray in the Spirit. I have so many of you say, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And I'm so grateful. I couldn't do what I do if you didn't pray for me. I had a friend of mine in 2016 send me a note. He said, Daryl, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you will rest in His ability to shelter you and provide a refuge for you in the midst of fear. And then he included the scripture that he was using to pray over me. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. When he sent that to me, I was going through a very difficult situation. And I could hear my friend praying it like this: Lord, help Daryl to dwell in your shelter and to rest in your shadow because you're almighty. Help Daryl to remember he is trusting in you as his refuge. You are his fortress. Oh God, help him to trust you. Trust him to save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Help him to remember that you will cover him with your feathers, and under your wings, Daryl can find refuge. That, Lord God, your faithfulness will be a shield and a rampart. Why does Paul say pray for all the saints? Because we need each other. Because sometimes we need to pray for people that can't even pray for themselves. Because sometimes the only thing going to sustain somebody is the prayers of God's people. You know, it's amazing how God works in people's hearts. Today, Matt Sloma was telling me that I think they've got 87 kids or something going on this youth choir mission trip. And we have someone in our church that every year has fixed these little bags to send with the kids. And in 2020, when they didn't get to make the trip, this individual had already made these little bags and set them aside somewhere and forgot they had done it. So this week, Matt told me, he said that this lady in our church called him and said, hey, Matt, I found these from 2020, and if you'd like for me to give them to the kids, I'd be glad to do so. I just don't know if I've got enough. All I have are 87. Isn't it amazing how God works? How God works through people who pray. The object of our prayer is all the saints. We ought to pray for one another. We've got to be a praying church, because the weapons of our warfare are the Word of God and prayer. So I conclude with this. There are three things the enemy hates to hear when you pray. He hates to hear the name of Jesus. You can look these passages up. He hates to hear the reference to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he hates to hear the quoted Word of God. I want you to listen to Kenneth Woost's translation of this passage. Kenneth Woost was a Greek scholar that wrote Woost's translation and did word studies in the Greek New Testament. And this is his literal translation of this passage. Through the instrumentality of every prayer and supplication for need, praying at all seasons by means of the Spirit, and maintaining a constant alertness in the same with every kind of unremitting care and supplication for all the saints. Jesse Waddell is sitting back there. And Jesse, would you just kind of wave at everybody so if they don't know you? So Jesse works with Guy Morton, who's our pastoral care pastor. And Jesse helps lead a prayer group in our church that anytime we get prayer needs put in our prayer boxes, they're distributed to our pastors and we pray. But those prayer needs come before our prayer groups. And Jesse will send out an email that says, here are some people that have requested prayer. We may not have a name. Most of the time, we don't get a name. We don't share people's personal info. And if someone says, do not share this, but with a pastor, it's kept confidential. But I want you to know you have a group of people in this church that pray for you. So what are the takeaways? We've got to be battle ready. We've got to know that we are in a spiritual warfare. And so we clothe ourselves in the entirety of the panoply of God's armor that has been gifted to us in Jesus Christ. And then we take up the sword of the Spirit and we begin to saturate everything in our lives with prayer. And we win. It doesn't mean every time we pray, what we want happens. It doesn't mean that we always have the result that we desire, but we win because we know that Christ is Lord and ultimately He is sovereign over us. Three takeaways for us to think about. What are the hindrances to my prayer life? The hindrances may be things like Facebook, the internet, email, text, TV. What adjustments will I make to make prayer a priority in my life? Maybe it's watching less TV. Maybe it's saying I'm not going to pick up my phone until after I've prayed first. Here's a prayer of commitment. Lord, I know I must pray. Please help me to make prayer my first response to every need and situation in my life. Help me to prioritize prayer so that my prayer life is not only responsive to needs, but a proactive tool and spiritual warfare. I want you to watch Miss Clara as that movie came to a close and listen to her as she prays.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
I want to ask you to stand tonight. We're going to be dismissed. Man, that's some praying, isn't it? I tell you what I'd love to see. I'd love for you to ask the Lord to give you a war room at your house, that place where you always pray. I'd like for you to ask God to make this place right here a war room. We gather here to worship the living God. It is not entertainment. It is not so that we can impress. It's not so that we can do a religious duty. It's that we may become before the throne of the living God and meet with him and speak to him and let him change us and let us be strengthened and encouraged. Let's let this be a war room. Let's be warriors in prayer. Let's take up the sword of the Spirit. And let's pray at all times. Father, we pray. Lord, we ask that you help us to cry out to you. God, forgive us when we have been prayerless. Help us to see the gift and the blessing of prayer. Help us to see the need to pray for one another, to be encouragers. Lord God, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.